This is the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com. You can call us at 440-579-2531. Send us an email at studio at sportstalknetwork.com or follow us on Twitter at sportstalknet. The Steve Callis Show on sportstalknetwork.com starts now.
Hello again, everybody. This is Steve Callis on The Steve Callis Show. It's Wednesday, June 20th, 2012. I encourage you to send your emails to studio at sportstalknetwork.com. That's S-T-U-D-I-O at sportstalknetwork.com. We'll go right down to Miami, the second of three games in Miami. A pivotal game, obviously. If the Thunder can tie it up and steal one in Miami, they've got a big chance at 2-2. If the Heat take a 3-1 lead, apparently there have been 30 times in the NBA Finals when a team has taken a 3-1 lead, and no team that is down 3-1 in the Finals has ever come back to win. And sure enough, after a tough, gritty game with a great performance by Russell Westbrook for Oklahoma City, not enough. The Heat come back and win. Heat 104, Thunder 98. Heat go up 3-1. A commanding 3-1 lead. LeBron James showing a little guts, hitting a big three. Took himself out of the game with cramps, was really in pain, came back in, hit a couple of big shots, then had to come out for the last 55 seconds of the game. I'm sure on the one hand, everybody will be talking about the brilliant performance of Russell Westbrook, and of course, on the other hand, everybody will be talking about the colossal mistake he made very late in the game. I don't think that takes away from what Westbrook did, but look, Westbrook, incredibly talented, has to me now the best mid-range game in the NBA. That is, he can pull up and take that 15-footer, a lost art in the NBA, and make it consistently. Yesterday, Westbrook scores 43 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, but not enough. LeBron James, despite his cramps in the fourth quarter, 26 points, 12 assists, 9 rebounds, obviously a rebound away from a triple-double, 2 steals as well. But he showed a lot of guts, I thought, by getting obviously painful leg cramps, coming out, coming back in, and hitting a huge three, the only three he hit in the game, 1-for-4 from three. But again, Oklahoma City dominating the first quarter, up 10 early, up 14 at the quarter. But Miami hung around, chipped away, and actually took the lead in the third quarter, up 4 after 3. The Thunder then, with 4 minutes left in the game, were up 2. But LeBron, despite his leg cramps, comes in, hits a big 3 with 2:54 left to put Miami up 3. Wade hits a basket to put them up 5. They went on a 7-0 run with about 3:30 left in the game. LeBron comes out of the game with 55 seconds left. Chalmers hits a big layup to put Miami back up 5 in the last 2 minutes. Westbrook hits a layup to cut it to 3. And then to me came the pivotal play of the game. There was a jump ball called with 0.8 seconds left on the shot clock for Miami, up 3. So when they go to the jump ball, by rule, they put 5 seconds back on the clock. If Miami controls the tip, they have 5 seconds to shoot. Obviously, if Oklahoma City controls the tip, they would have the ball, 24 seconds, and down 3. And what happened was the ball gets batted around. Shane Battier tips it out to Chalmers. And then Westbrook, either not understanding the timing of it all, probably not understanding the timing of it all, immediately goes and fouls Chalmers. And that was, in essence, the end of the game. Because now Chalmers goes to the line, he hits 1-of-2. That puts him up 4. And then, you know, they only have a few seconds left in the game to try and cut into a 4-point lead. After they miss, they foul Miami again. Final score, Miami 104. Oklahoma City 98. And look, we've talked about Westbrook a lot. Harden has been horrible for Oklahoma City, but despite his being horrible, Westbrook carried the team yesterday. Again, I don't think he should be taking 32 shots to Durant's 19, but he was spectacular yesterday. But at the point of the game where you needed some calmness, some high basketball IQ, it just wasn't there. After the game, he said there was a miscommunication, whatever that means. The reality is, if you looked at the clock, there was either 0.8 for Miami to shoot or 5. Like, they asked James Harden, he said, yeah, I saw there was 0.8 seconds on the clock. But then apparently by rule, they change it to 5 seconds when it's a jump ball situation. 5 seconds for Miami, obviously 24 for Oklahoma City if they get a fresh possession, if they possess the ball. And frankly, Westbrook just had no idea. He played like there was 10 or 15 or 20 seconds left on the shot clock. And that's a colossal mental mistake, a game-ending mental mistake. Now, would Oklahoma City have hit a three to tie? Yeah, you're never going to know. But they lost the opportunity to hit a three to tie by Westbrook's dumb play. Now, Westbrook is a star. He's an unbelievably talented guy. He has been criticized roundly and correctly for not being the point guard. But keep in mind, he's really a two guard. He played two guard in college. He's taken over the point. He makes fantastic passes once in a while. He makes bad decisions lots of times. He was unbelievable yesterday. I mean, some of the shots he made, and I'll say it again, he's got the best mid-range jumper in the game. He knows how to pull up and score at will. Most people just either shoot threes or go to the basket. This guy is different. But if he doesn't foul, Chalmers, after getting the ball in his hands, maybe has 3 seconds. I mean, again, the ball was tipped up in the air. Then Battier went on the jump ball. Then Battier went up and tipped it out to Chalmers. So that even that had to take a couple of seconds. So if he had just defended the ball, Chalmers would have had to have taken a very difficult off-balance three, assuming he hit the rim. Then Oklahoma City would have had to rebound and get the ball down the court quickly, but there's a good chance he wouldn't have gotten a shot off, or if he did, it would be one of those heaves that would be an air ball 24-second violation. And then Oklahoma City would have had a chance. But I think it's unfair, and I'm not a Westbrook, again, as a point guard, I'm not a Westbrook guy. We actually heard in New York some expert on the radio say, oh yeah, Westbrook's like Derrick Rose, a ball hog. But if Derrick Rose was on Oklahoma City, they'd win this championship and the next four, because Derrick Rose has nobody to pass to in Chicago. There's no Kevin Durant on Chicago. Chicago's a good team, but you know their weakness is always who's going to be the number two scorer behind Derrick Rose. There is nobody. But my goodness, if you put Derrick Rose in this lineup instead of Russell Westbrook, as good as Westbrook is, would Rose's ability to defend and pass the ball as well as score, the MVP of the league, the reigning MVP until LeBron this year, the MVP last season, forget about it. So understand what you're watching here. You're watching a star in Westbrook, but maybe not a star point guard, a superstar in Durant. And frankly, I think at the end of the day, the finger will be pointed not at Westbrook, but at James Harden. Harden yesterday, 2-for-10. Again, 8 points. He did have 10 rebounds and 2 assists, but he has to score. Only 2 guys in double figures yesterday, Westbrook and Durant. And yes, Westbrook went for 43. But again, as we've talked about, who is going to step up? For Miami, the big guy who stepped up, and a lot of smaller players had big roles, but the guy who really stepped up was Mario Chalmers, 9 for 15 from the floor. Only 3 for 9 from 3, but there were some big threes. 25 points, 3 assists, 2 rebounds, 2 steals. Chalmers hit some big buckets down the stretch when LeBron was hurt. He hit a huge layup. And he was commended properly for going to the basket as opposed to just settling for threes. Cole, the rookie, had a very big game. 3 for 6 from the field, including 2 for 3 from three. When they were way down, he came in and scored 8 points in a few minutes. He only played 7 minutes, 53 seconds. He had 8 points. He was the spark plug. He was the Vinnie Johnson. He was the microwave who came in and got 8 quick points to get Miami back in the game. So, yeah, was it the big three? Well, again, James, 26, 12 assists, 9 rebounds. Wade, 25 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists. Bosch, 13 points, 9 rebounds. They did their job. But Chalmers was the wild card. Cole was the microwave with the instant offense. James Jones hit a big three late. He only hit one, but he hit a big three late. And that's enough for the Heat to go and win 104-98. That's enough for the Miami Heat to take a commanding 3-1 lead. And as we talked about before the series, I think what you're seeing with the Thunder is it's their first trip to the finals. It's a different animal. You can say all you want, it's just another game or it's just another playoff game. The reality is it isn't. Compare LeBron last year in his first real finals. He really couldn't win with Cleveland. He was in the finals before. But compare him against Dallas last year with him against the Thunder this year, there's no comparison. I mean, he takes over games. He's the team leader. I think he's averaging like 28 a game in the finals, which is unbelievable. And he has been and he will be. He'll be the MVP of the finals if Miami wins, and rightfully so. Again, we've talked about him being the MVP of the league. Hard to believe. Durant was the MVP of the league for the regular season. But that's all splitting hairs. James has been awesome. Heat 104, Thunder 98, and Game 5, you know, it's interesting. I won't even say this is an advantage to Miami. I mean, they're up 3-1. Again, no team in the finals has ever come back down 3-1 to win. But, you know, if they win, if the Thunder win Game 5 in Miami, then it's a different animal. Now, normally, you would be going back to Oklahoma City. That would be a gravy game for Miami. If they get the win on the road, they win the championship. If not, they come home for Game 6. But that's not the situation here. Miami's really going to want to close it out in 5 for obvious reasons. If they lose Game 5, they're still up 3-2, but they have to go back to Oklahoma City for Game 6, Game 7. If they don't win Game 6, it'll be very hard for them to win Game 7 on the road. So I had picked Miami in 6. I didn't think they could win 3 in a row in Miami. Of course, we'll just have to wait and see if that happens. A very hard thing to do. And the Thunder have shown the ability to play in Miami, but not to finish in Miami. I mean, they were dominant early on. Westbrook, I think, hit his first 5 shots. They were up 14 after the first quarter, 33-19. But it all came apart for them. Miami got most of that lead back by halftime, down 4 at the half. And then they opened up a lead in the third quarter. And then back and forth in the fourth with LeBron coming in and out of the game a couple of times. But showing his grit again. The only criticism you're going to be able to have of LeBron after this series, if Miami wins, and I obviously thought they were going to win and still think they're going to win, is whether LeBron can close in the last 10 seconds of a close game. That has not happened. But he did hit the big three while hurt. Admittedly, with 2:54 left in the game. He was a leader by example. He could barely walk, and he was still out there. He did have to come out of the game with 55 seconds left. But then, you know, Chalmers hit that big layup and a foul shot at the end when Westbrook fouled him stupidly. So they look to other guys. Yes, it's the big three, James, Wade, and Bosch, but you also look to others. When the story's written for Oklahoma City, it's hard to say it's Westbrook's fault. You can't. At times he plays as well as any point guard in the league. I think people will point to Harden as the guy who was the problem. I mean, I don't even know if he's averaging 10 points a game in this series. He just hasn't been good. Maybe it's jitters. Maybe Miami's too tough defensively. He certainly hasn't made shots. But Durant's been awesome. Westbrook, for the most part, has been excellent. Again, if you're looking at him as a point guard, he's been good, not great. If you're looking at him as the Robin to Durant's Batman, he's been great. And yesterday, offensively, was unbelievable. But still, that I don't know if it's a brain lock. He said it was a miscommunication. Not clear what that means. But it doesn't matter now. Miami up 3-1. Game 5 is in Miami. For all intents and purposes, the series is over historically, whatever that means. Can Oklahoma City come back and win 3 in a row? Obviously, highly unlikely. Heat 104, Thunder 98. Heat go up 3-1. We're going to get to all the baseball in a minute. First, a couple of miscellaneous things. The Charlotte Bobcats have hired Mike Dunlap. Now, most people don't know Mike Dunlap in New York. We're familiar with Mike Dunlap because he was Steve Lavin's top assistant last year at St. John's. And as you probably recall, Lavin was tried to come back from that prostate surgery early, couldn't coach. Mike Dunlap was the head coach of St. John's, and I thought did a good job under a very difficult situation. Now, how does he go from that to the head coach of the Charlotte Bobcats? Well, Dunlap used to coach for George Karl, the well-respected coach of the Nuggets. He was Karl's assistant for 2 years. And before that, in college, he was George Raveling's assistant. You'll recall Raveling used to be a big-time coach at USC and then became a big-time executive at Nike. So with Michael Jordan making the decision, Jordan, a Carolina guy, and a Nike guy, Karl, a Carolina guy, George Raveling, a Nike guy, Dunlap became highly recommended. If you're in the business, you know who Mike Dunlap is. An excellent assistant coach. Did a good job, I thought, under very difficult circumstances for St. John's this past year. Does that mean he can make to the jump to the NBA? Look, Charlotte's going to be horrible even if Phil Jackson comes to coach them, or Red Auerbach comes back from the dead to coach them. It's not about the coach, but he has a chance to install a new attitude there. You know the deal. They only won 7 games this past year. But by people in the know in the league, they believe that this was a very good hire. It was not on the NBA radar screen. But again, between George Karl, who is a longtime friend of Jordan and a North Carolina guy like Jordan, and George Raveling, who was an excellent college coach at USC and Iowa State, and Dunlap was an assistant to Raveling at both places, and Raveling's Nike connections, obviously, he's close to Jordan. Those two guys recommended him strongly, and Mike Dunlap becomes the new coach of the Charlotte Bobcats. This is the Steve Kallis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Get your Major League Baseball news when you want it 24/7, online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion. Home electronics and appliance shopping has never been easier thanks to Best Buy and SportsTalkNetwork.com. Free shipping, free store pickup, daily deals, and Best Buy's perfect match promise are waiting for you by clicking the Best Buy tile on any SportsTalkNetwork.com webpage. Order what you like online and pick them up in as little as 45 minutes from your local Best Buy. Laptops to desktops, iPods to iPads, TVs, home entertainment systems and appliances, and much more. Visit SportsTalkNetwork.com, click the Best Buy tile, and start your hassle-free shopping today.
If you missed Game Realm on SportsTalkNetwork.com, you missed this.
Autobots, transform and roll out.
Oh, Optimus. Peter Cullen speaks to me in ways that no woman could. Anyway, I'm sorry, there's just something about that voice.
Oh, my.
Talk video games, video game systems, and have a lot of fun on Game Realm, exclusively on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Deep Blue Professional. We're a company that prides ourselves on our offering the best products in the business and on our ability to deliver what no other aquarium lines can, the highest quality for far less than the competition. With Deep Blue Professional, you can have the benefits of aquariums and accessories with the features you want at prices you can afford, and that's no line.
SportsTalkNetwork.com.
That sounds cool, man. I want in.
If you are a diabetic and concerned about maintaining your healthy blood glucose levels, please stay tuned to this important message. A market trial offer is starting now for a revolutionary breakthrough in natural blood sugar management called Glymetrol, and you're eligible to try it free for 30 days. We are looking for 200 callers to receive a free trial, so call immediately. 1-888-799-9950. The ups and downs you experience from naturally fluctuating blood sugar levels can be frustrating. Clinical studies of the key ingredients in Glymetrol have shown these ingredients to be effective in supporting healthy glucose management. And now this new formula is being released to the general public. Your area has been selected to try it right now for free. The first 200 callers are guaranteed participation in the trial. Call immediately to find out how to receive your free 30-day trial. Phone lines are open now. 1-888-799-9950. 1-888-799-9950.
This is the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com. You can call us at 440-579-2531. Send us an email at studio@SportsTalkNetwork.com or follow us on Twitter at SportsTalkNet. The Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com starts now.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. Now we're going to turn to Major League Baseball, the first interesting game to look at, and there was a few of them yesterday. But the interesting game was down in Washington, D.C., the Rays in there to play the Nationals, and late in the game, Joe Maddon brings in Joel Peralta, who has pitched very well for Tampa Bay. He is a former National, and before he threw a pitch, Davey Johnson asked the umpires to take a look at Peralta's glove, and upon looking at the glove, sure enough, they found a large amount of pine tar, according to Tim Tachita, the umpire, and Peralta was ejected from the game. Of course, pine tar, you see the batters using on the bats to get themselves a better grip, not allowed for pitchers, foreign substance in his glove, so he was ejected. Now Peralta, I mean, this led to, look, clearly somebody on the Nationals dropped a dime on Peralta to manager Davey Johnson. They knew that he had done it when he was with the Nationals, so now they wanted to use it against the Rays. You know, the Rays won the game 5-4, but we'll get to that in a minute. In any event, they go out, they look at the glove, they throw Peralta out of the game. He tips his hat to the Nationals dugout. Maddon, upset with the gamesmanship or whatever you want to call it, then had the umpires in the next inning check out the Washington pitcher, who, of course, had nothing on his glove or under his hat. I mean, it was just, again, gamesmanship by Maddon. But clearly they knew something, Davey Johnson, after the game. I thought he looked a little uncomfortable talking about it. Maddon had no qualms about saying it was a Bush League move. He said worse than that. But look, you can't use pine tar if you're the pitcher. It certainly can affect the flight of the ball. It can give you a better grip on the ball. And while it's allowed on bats, it's not allowed on balls. It goes back to, I'm sure, the spitball and the Vaseline ball and any foreign substance on the ball or on your hands to help you with the ball is, of course, illegal. So Joel Peralta will be suspended. I don't know for how many games, but that's a big no-no. Now, he said after the game that it was his batting practice glove, whatever that means. You know, what is he going to say to the commissioner that he uses pine tar in batting practice to get a better grip on the ball to throw strikes in batting practice? You know, that's going to be some dancing two-step argument. But Maddon was really incensed. It's interesting. I guess it's, I don't know if it's a code of players. If a guy cheats on your team and then he's traded to another team, you should allow him to cheat. You know, I'm a big Joe Maddon fan, but I don't really understand. Look, you understand he was sticking up for his player. But sometimes you look like a fool sticking up for his player, and he's trying to almost blame the victim. Clearly the Nationals knew that Peralta did this when he was a National. Clearly they tried to take advantage of it yesterday. And frankly, although they got him out of the game, to me, clearly it didn't work. Tampa Bay 5, Nationals 4. Tampa Bay now 38-29. The Nationals 38-27. Pena 2-for-4 yesterday, including his ninth. Carlos Pena for Tampa Bay 2-for-4, including his ninth homer. He's over the Mendoza line now, hitting .204. But Pena traditionally is now a terrible average hitter who can put up some home runs and some RBIs. You know, now 9 home runs, 29 RBIs on a light hitting team like Tampa Bay. Those are good numbers. BJ Upton also 2-for-5. With a double and an RBI, his 25th of the year. And also Lobaton, who's been a pleasant surprise, I think, 2-for-3 with a run scored, hitting .244 for the not very good hitting Tampa Bay Rays. David Price gets the win. He's 9-4. Rodney gets his 20th save. Price, 7 innings, 6 hits, 4 runs, 3 earned. His ERA is 3.08, 9-4 with a 3.08. Pretty good numbers. For Washington, Morse, the right fielder, 2-for-4, 2 RBIs, including his first home run of the year. Desmond also hit a home run, the shortstop, 1-for-3 with an RBI and a run scored. Washington, Chin-Ming Wong takes the loss. He's 2-3, only lasted 3 1/3, 7 hits, 5 runs earned, and he's just never come back from that shoulder operation, which is similar, frankly, to the Santana shoulder operation. We'll get to Santana again because he's come back very well after missing that year. But Chin-Ming Wong has not. His record drops to 2-3. So the Rays beat the Nationals. The big story will be how much is Peralta going to get suspended. And, you know, they'll give him a few games. He's a reliever. He'll probably get 4 or 5 games, but we'll wait and see what happens. Another interesting game, the Orioles, who have been playing great against the Mets, who are in a bit of a slump. But when you have R.A. Dickey pitching for you and then Santana now behind him, Dickey, of course, back-to-back one-hitters, just stunning stuff what he's become. He's the all-star starter. We've talked about him for the last 3 weeks as possibly being it. I think he's certainly solidified it. Yesterday, Santana gets his 5th win of the year as the Mets shut out the Orioles. Santana, 6 innings, 4 hits, no runs. And then Parnell comes in for an inning, Batista for an inning, John Rauch for an inning. And the Mets shut out the Orioles. Now, the Orioles have been playing great, but they have 6 hits total now in the last 2 games. The Dickey Santana back-to-back pitching has really been, frankly, top-notch. I mean, you can make a case one of the top, if not the top, 1-2 punches in the league with Dickey up top. But Santana now 5-3. The big hit yesterday was Lucas Duda. Hit his 11th home run of the year, 2-run shot. The Mets 37-32, Baltimore 39-29. Wieters, the catcher, the only Oriole with 2 hits. He's batting .254 after going 2-for-3 yesterday. Duda and Jordani Valdespin, the only 2 Mets with 2 hits. Mets 5, Orioles nothing. Couple of other games quickly. Justin Verlander beats the Cardinals, Tigers 6, Cardinals 3. Verlander, it was Verlander against Lynn. Lynn now 10-3 after giving up 5 earned in 5 innings. Verlander 7 innings pitch, 5 hits, 3 runs, but only 1 earned. He gave up a 2-run error on a fly ball to the left fielder. Barry made an error. Barry redeemed himself a little, 2-for-5 with a run and an RBI. He's hitting .337, but he did drop that ball in left field. It would have been a nice catch, but certainly should have been the catch and was an error. Tigers 6, Cardinals 3. Lynn drops to 10-3, 2.80 ERA. Verlander moves up to 7-4, 2.57 ERA. A couple of other games quickly. Angels bury the Giants 12-5. This Trout has been a better rookie so far, in my opinion, than Bryce Harper, 4 at-bats, 4 runs, 4 hits. Batting leadoff for the Angels, he's hitting .337. Albert Pujols hits his 11th home run of the year, and he gets 4 RBIs, now has 43 for the year. Trumbo, the big first baseman, DHing yesterday, 3-for-5 with 5 RBIs. He now has 47 of the year. The Angels starting to wake up now, 37-32, 5 games over .500. C.J. Wilson gets the win. He's 8-4 with a 2.44 ERA, giving up 3 earned and 6 1/3. Barry Zito gets hammered. He's 5-5 with a 4.35 ERA. He gives up 8 earned in 3 1/3. Cabrera goes 3-for-5 with the Giants. He's hitting .369. The Giants 38-31. Los Angeles, as we said, 37-32. Other games quickly. Pirates 7, Twins 2. Correa gets the win. He's 3-6. Diamond takes the loss. He's 5-3. The Braves beat the Yankees, snapping the Yankees' 10-game winning streak. Hudson gets the win. He's 5-3. Kuroda takes the loss. He's 5-7. Craig Kimbrell gets his 20th save. The Indians beat the Reds. Indians 3, Reds 2 in extra innings on a 2-run game-winning home run by Asdrubal Cabrera. The Indians 35-32, keeping their head above ground. The Reds 38-29, obviously in the mix. Red Sox beat the Marlins 7-5. Buchholz gets the win. He's 8-2. Burley takes the loss. He's 5-8. Royals shut out the Astros 2-0. Hockenberg gets the win. He's 4-7. Wandy Rodriguez takes the loss. He's 6-5. Blue Jays beat the Brewers with 2 in the ninth, 10-9. Batista hits 2 home runs, his 21st and 2nd of the year. Blue Jays 10, Brewers 9. Cubs beat the White Sox 2-1. Wood gets the win. He's 1-3. Jake Peavy takes the loss. He's 6-3. Mariners beat the Diamondbacks 12-9. Ichiro gets his 2,500th hit as a major leaguer, in addition to almost 1,300 as a Japanese player. Think about that. Rangers beat the Padres 7-3. Feldman gets his first win of the year. He's 1-6. Edison Volquez takes the loss. He's 3-7. Athletics shut out the Dodgers 3-0. We timed a strong 7 innings from McCarthy, who's 6-3. Harang takes the loss. He's 5-4. Quickly looking at the TV tonight, MLB. Well, this afternoon, MLB 2 o'clock, MLB Network 2 o'clock Eastern, Blue Jays at the Brewers. Tonight, ESPN 2, 7 o'clock Eastern, Cardinals at Tigers. If you get the YES Network for the Yankees, Braves at the Yankees, 1 o'clock on YES. Orioles at the Mets, 7 o'clock tonight on SNY. No basketball tonight, obviously. If you're into hockey, the NHL award show is 7 o'clock Eastern tonight, NBC Sports Network, formerly Versus. College World Series, one game on ESPN tonight, 8 o'clock Eastern. Kent State against South Carolina. That's your TV lineup for tonight. This is the Steve Callis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.